sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today on this Friday, June 28th, 2024, the final Friday of the month of June? Because the next time you'll see me, we will be in the seventh month of the year, that being July. So let's enjoy these final couple of days we got in the month of June. Thank y'all for tuning in to Shooting Lights Out today. Y'all know who I am. Those of you who don't know who I am Donnell, the Playmaker Silence, the host of Shooting Lights Out, among other things when it comes to the Playmakers Bar Network. Thank y'all for tuning in. Whatever you're looking at, what is this on you? Our YouTube channel, are you listening to the audio on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts? Thank y'all for tuning in. Like, subscribe, whatever platform you're listening on. I do appreciate it. Want to give appreciation to the last episode because y'all were viewing like crazy last episode when I did Monday. And I'm very appreciative of that. So I'm happy to do this episode here. Got a lot to talk about. The NBA draft took place. WNBA Commissioner's Cup took place. And some interesting games took place last night in the WNBA as well. I'm going to get all that. But for those of you who are new and those of you who are faithful listeners of the show, y'all know where I'm going first. I'm going around the hardwood because we have some news and notes to give you from the world of basketball. And to begin around the hardwood, the New York Knicks trade for Mikal Bridges as Nets load up on picks. Now, those of you who are new to the program, I get all my news and I get most of my news and articles from ESPN. So anytime you see it, you'll see at the bottom of here, where it says Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN. I get most of my stuff from ESPN. When it comes to basketball news, you might get some Fox Sports. You might get some CBS Sports. You might even get Bleacher Report because I look at those as well. But most, the main part would be ESPN. So Adrian Wojnarowski reported this and here's what they did. So the New York Knicks, they end up sending, okay, a whole bunch of picks to the Nets, all right? This happened back on June 25th, okay? So I'm on ESPN website right now. Bridges to Knicks. Nets get 5 first-round picks, okay? So the New York Knicks, they end up receiving Mikal Bridges and a 2026 second-round pick in exchange for Bogdan Bogdanovic, 4 unprotected first-round picks in 2025, 2027, 2029, and 2031. The Brooklyn Nets also got a 2025 protected first-round pick from via the Milwaukee Bucks. That's one of the part of the Knicks trade. A 2025 second-round pick and a 2028 unprotected pick swap. So the Nets are loading up on picks. And the New York Knicks are pretty much no longer called the New York Knicks anymore. They are now called the Villanova Knicks. They already have 4 guys that played together at Villanova and won championships under Jay White. Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, and now Mikal Bridges. These guys played together and won a championship with the Villanova Wildcats. I want to say 2017, 2016, somewhere around there when they played together and won that championship. They are literally becoming the Villanova Knicks now. Or we can call them the New York Wildcats because they do play in New York. I mean, we could do that. Depends on what you want to say. You can call it the Villanova Knicks as shown on this picture by Clutch Point. Or we can call them the New York Wildcats because they do play in New York and they got a bunch of Wildcats on the team. I mean, What can be said about the Knicks? The Knicks are trying. They trying to build something here. They trying. We're going to get them that. So, but they building through Villanova, which is kind of ironic. Now, the Knicks do have other news because OG Anunoby plans to sign a five-year, $212.5 million deal with the Knicks. So not only did the Knicks end up trading for Mikal Bridges, they also are keeping OG Anunoby. So they have a lot of wing defenders to go with. Josh Hart is a good two-way player. OG Anunoby is a good two-way player. Mikal Bridges is a great two-way player. That's three two-way players on one team. Then you got Jalen Brunson, who runs the point. You got Dante DiVincenzo, who can be a sharpshooter for the New York Knicks. Now we got just the inside. What's going to happen with Julius Randle? What's going to happen with Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein? When it comes to somebody in the inside, in the interior of the Knicks, to fully round out this roster. That's what the Knicks are building right now. Can't be mad at them. They making moves. They trying to win championships. They saw the Boston Celtics hosted the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the 18th time. Okay, and they did it in five games over the Dallas Mavericks. So they trying to build something here. Can't say what, but the Knicks are trying to build something. That's a good thing. All right, that's good. Moving right along, Kristaps Porzingis to miss start of season because of surgery. The Boston Celtics announced Thursday that center Kristaps Porzingis had surgery to repair the rare leg injury he suffered during the NBA Finals, and that his recovery time will be 5 to 6 months, meaning he won't return well into the start of the next season for the defending champions. Porzingis, age 28, suffered a torn medial tenconum, aligned this dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in game two, an injury the team described as rare in his newest release. He sat out games 3 and 4 before returning to score 5 points in 16 minutes in game five as Boston claimed the NBA title with a 106-88 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. So he's going to miss the start of the season, but it's 82 games, so Let's say he missed about a month into the season. What, 10 to 12 games? 10 to 12 games? He still got like 70-plus games to play. So I'm not too worried. I don't think a lot of people is worried when it comes to Kristaps Porzingis missing the beginning of the season. Now, if there's something like a torn ACL or a ruptured Achilles, something like that, then we'll be concerned. But if he missed the first 10 to 12 games, so be it. It's an 82-game season. We're talking about the reigning defending NBA champions of the Boston Celtics, who pretty much bringing everybody back, okay, to run it back again. Al Horford said he's returning. I believe Jrue Holiday got an extension. We already know about Jaylen Brown's contract. I believe Derrick Rice is got an extension. We do believe Jason Tatum's going to sign a max deal with the Boston Celtics, so they bringing their pieces back. You know, they still got Peyton Pritchard on contract. Don't know about Sam Hauser. Sam Hauser is probably the question mark there, but, you know, we ain't to worry about Celtics. They'll be fine with Kristaps Porzingis missing about a month worth of games. Clippers pushed to retain Paul George's respect if he opts out. So we're going to get into this in another segment, because NBA free agent is coming up, but the Clippers have shown interest that they want to keep Paul George, but it is a percentage wise. There is something there that believe Paul George could opt out of his contract. So we should see what he does. I do believe Paul George wants a 4-year deal, if I remember correctly, but I'll get into it in a later segment on today's show. But just want to put that in your mind. Paul George has a player option that's coming up this weekend. The Denver Nuggets traded point guard Reggie Jackson and picks to the Charlotte Hornets. I believe they picked them when they made this trade. The Denver Nuggets found themselves under the luxury tax, so this was pretty much a financial move from the Denver Nuggets. They want to get under a luxury tax, which they did with this move. Unfortunately for Reggie Jackson, now he goes from being on a team that's contending for championships to a team that we have no idea what to make of. We just don't, to be quite honest. If I'm being honest, we just don't know. So the Nuggets are trading point guard Reggie Jackson and 3 unprotected second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in a move that will open up salary cap space for the Nuggets. Jackson, 34, will be entering his 14th season after spending the past 2 seasons with the Denver Nuggets, which included the 2022-2023 NBA Championship season. He played in all 82 games last season, averaging 10 points, 4 assists per game while shooting 36% from 3-point range. So that's pretty much a financial move. That's all it was. Wasn't nothing big, but so it's that Reggie Jackson is now heading to Charlotte. Good luck to you, sir. The Kings trade Donovan, Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vujacic to the Toronto Raptors. They made this trade, and then the Sacramento Kings are getting back Jalen McDaniels from the Toronto Raptors. It's kind of an interesting move. So you put a defensive-minded player on the wing to go along with De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk when he comes off the bench, DeMontis Sabonis. I think they still got Harrison Barnes right now. So you added some defensive prowess on the team, which you need, because quite frankly, the Kings didn't play Davion Mitchell a lot because he's pretty much a guard. And when you have Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox as your top guard, it's kind of hard to fit a defensive guard in there when you have 2 explosive offensive guards on the team. So interesting to see how that goes, but this is a nice move for Sacramento. You get yourself a defender on the wing, which you need, and you get a guy who can be a spot up shooter. And he's been known to be a spot up shooter in the corner to hit some threes. So I want to see how Mike Brown does this, and I want to see how Davion Mitchell fits in with the Toronto Raptors now that the Raptors did sign they face out a franchise and Scottie Barnes to a max contract extension at that. So there's something to look forward to. I do believe it's somewhere in the realm of 225 guaranteed for Scottie Barnes to be the face of the Toronto Raptors. So we'll see how that works with Davion Mitchell going forward, and we'll see what the Kings do with Jaden McDaniels as an extra wing defender for the Sacramento Kings. All right. Now let's talk some international Olympics news. Wembanyama can't wait for a possible battle with Team USA in Paris. As you know, we are less than 30 days away from the Olympics happening in Paris, France, where France would be the home country team, and they are in Group B, if I believe. They are in a group with Germany, Japan, and the winner of the qualifying tournament out in Lithuania. All right. So they would not be, if they do see USA, it would be in the knockout stage and/or medal game if they should meet into the gold medal game down in Paris. That would be fun. That's for Team USA. They are in Group C with Serbia, South Sudan, and the winner of the Puerto Rico qualifying tournament that's getting ready to take place in the early part of July. So, but we'll get there as we get closer and closer to the Olympics. Like I said, I'll be covering the Olympics. I have 2 people with me as well. I'll be getting ready for the showcase because training camp for the Olympics is coming up. And speaking of training camp, Steve Kerr has confirmed that Kawhi Leonard and the rest of Team USA will report to camp, which is good news. So that means everybody who was selected is ready to go and ready to be a part of Team USA. Team USA coach Steve Kerr said Thursday that all 12 players selected for the Olympic team, including Los Angeles Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard, will be present and able to participate when training camp begins in Las Vegas next week. Kerr says, quote, "We've been in communication constantly, so we expect all 12 guys to be ready to roll." Kawhi Leonard, who turned 33 on Saturday, who will turn 33 on Saturday, so happy early birthday, Kawhi Leonard, missed the final three games of the Clippers season, which is the postseason against the Dallas Mavericks, after he surgically repaired his right knee, didn't respond well how he hoped it. So, being losing to the Dallas Mavericks in like six games, or five, can't remember which. I think it was six. So, everything is a go. We heard from Joel Embiid doing the NBA Finals coverage. And he said he's ready to lock and load it, to ready to go and get the training camp and get acclimated with Team USA as they prepare for this trip to the Olympics and whatnot. As they try to get another gold medal, I think this would be the fifth straight gold medal they can get. I think they won four straight, if I remember correctly. Yep, the Redeem Team in 08, then 12, it was gold in London. 16, it was gold in Rio, and yep, in this past Olympics in 2021 in Tokyo, it was gold. So yeah, they're going for the fifth straight gold. And as we get closer to that, I will be covering the Olympics. I will be covering for on not only the men's, the women's as well. And also, I have the showcase again that I'll be trying to give you some analyzed stuff for the showcase games. But all that's going to take place next month, which is like 3 days away from now. But good to hear that everybody's going to report. Everybody's ready to rock and roll. And that Team Avengers have assembled and ready to take gold for a fifth straight year. So that will do it for Around the Hardwood. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to talk NBA draft because it took place over the last 2 days. So there's some stuff that needs to be mentioned, needs to be said. We'll be back.
The largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant? Weather. Devastating tornadoes ripped through the heart of the United States. Inspiration. A breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy, and now begins a future one of matrimony or sports. Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network, in association with Comey Media Incorporated, proudly present The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much. And you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying, but this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah, they want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. And before I continue on, give a shout out to Alex Akazai, the man behind Internet FC. If you want all your Copa America, Euro League, and the upcoming Olympics for all your football / soccer players out there, you go to him, man. Looking forward to see what he had to say about USA losing 2-1 to Panama in Copa America. A very tough loss for the United States in that one. All right. Also, shout out to Cole Johnson. Morning shift with Cole Johnson, Mondays through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., usually about 60 minutes. When you get a chance after you're done watching this show, go back to listen to what he had done earlier today this morning. He had to talk about a big news that happened in the NFL when it comes to Sunday Ticket. Something that y'all might want to listen to. So shout out to him for that. As y'all saw, we saw the Liz commercial. Yes, Shooting Lights Out and the Playmakers Squad Sports Network is sponsored by Fanatics, Paramount Plus, and Liz. And today only, Liz is doing 25% off site-wide with promo code LIDS25. That is LIDS25, all right? So go get your gear, hats, beanies, whatever the case may be at Liz, and use that 25% off site-wide code when you use our link in the show notes, okay? So go ahead and get your gear and stuff. Now, NBA draft. For the first time in draft history, the NBA draft was 2 days. It was Wednesday and it was Thursday. First time they did it in the Barclays Center up in Brooklyn, New York. And some of the quick takeaways to see: three French players were taken in the top six to begin the draft. You had Zaire Richarlison going number one to the Atlanta Hawks. Alex Shar going number two to the Washington Wizards. And Ty Jane Saloon going number six to the Charlotte Hornets. So big day for the French. And I do believe they have probably had a total of six players taken in the draft. I think they had three more taken in round two, if I'm not mistaken. So big day for the country of France, as you know, we all getting ready to head to France for the Paris Olympics and whatnot. So good couple of days for France, and there were international players getting in. And some other takeaways of Reed Shepard, Going number three to the Houston Rockets. Nice pick. You get yourself a shooter. They're going on with that young cool. You still got Jalen Green on there. You got Jabari Smith right there at your wing. So you still building something with Ime Udoka down there in Houston. So I want to see how Houston builds upon that. Donovan Klingon, the net two-time national champion center for the UConn Huskies, was actually taken number seven where he was projected at by the Portland Trailblazers. So let's see if he pans out for the Portland Trail, because the last time they took a big man this high, if I remember correctly, it was Odom. Can't think of his name right now. Can't think of his first name right now from Ohio State. And a whole bunch of leg injuries derailed him. He had a great career at Ohio State. Fell victim to my Florida Gators in that championship game in 2007, I want to say. But he just couldn't stay healthy for the Portland Trail Blazers, and they never got a chance to see him in action. Also, Nikola Topic from Serbia, who unfortunately has a to his ACL, he got drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So with him not being there to play a year and get to sit around with the guys and get camaraderie with Shea Alexander, the Jalen Williams brothers, they're not really brothers, but they got pretty much the same name, but it's spelled a little different. They one name is spelled with J-A-L-N-E, and the other one is spelled J-A-Y-L-N-E. But they both are called Jalen Williams, and you got Chet Holmgren over there. So want to see how Topic affiliates himself with the team, even though he probably won't be playing this upcoming season with that torn ACL. Yeah, not a bad move for them. Another interesting quick move that Kyle Filimowski from Duke did not go in day one. He went in day two. He was the 32nd pick to the Utah Jazz. So what does that mean for Utah going forward when you have Lauren McConkie? I think his contract is up. I'm not sure. Got to do some research on that. But interesting to see how Kyle Filipowski fits in with the Utah Jazz. And then quickly, we had KJ Simpson being drafted by the Charlotte Hornets. See how that goes when you just traded for Reggie Jackson. You still got LaMelo Ball. So it's a lot of point guards on that team. I want to see how that works out for the Charlotte Hornets. And then Jamal Shea was drafted 45th by the Sacramento Kings, but traded to the Toronto Raptors. So now you have Jamal Shea as your rookie to go with Scottie Barnes, to go with Davion Mitchell. So it's going to be interesting that many in that guard battle up in Toronto. But those are the quick ones that I want to get out the way. Let's go into the real stuff I want to get into. First off, the Los Angeles Lakers. They had two picks, the 17th pick and the 55th pick. And with the 17th pick, they took Dalton Kennett. J.J. Redick's first move in his tenure as head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers was to get the best offensive player in the draft, and Dalton Kennett. Okay? I want y'all to understand this, okay? I am a Laker hater. I'm upfront and personal about it. I do not like the Lakers. Why you think I don't like LeBron James? Because he got on a purple and gold uniform. But if I'm being honest, this was the steal of the NBA draft. For you people, you GMs out there, you know, everybody that picked before 17, how y'all let the best offensive player in the entire draft class fall to 17 is beyond me. And if age is the reason, every single one of y'all that's 1 through 16 need to slap aside your goddamn head. You have an experienced guy who can play the game, who is a walking bucket. If you haven't been paying attention to Tennessee this past season. And it even says right here in the pre-draft analyst, Kennett is the top all-around scorer in this class. I put it in the box for you. The top all-around scorer. You let that fall to the Lakers and J.J. Redick. I believe he got around pick 13 when he actually hit me. I'm like, we on pick. He's going to fall to the damn Lakers. Ain't this something? J.J. Redick's going to grab him. It's going to grab the best offensive player in the damn draft. Go freaking figure. Oh, my gosh. I mean, dude, this man here averaged 21.7 points in a game per game in the SEC. That man put up 40 against Kentucky. He put up 37 against the Purdue Boilermakers in the Elite Eight game. Yeah, I believe he's in the Elite Eight in this past tournament. Only reason why they lost because they had Zach Edey and some other players stepped up for Purdue. But that man there against Purdue was going toe for toe with Zach Edey when it comes to carrying a team to the finish line. And look at the post draft. I'm going to read the post draft for you if you can't see it. It says, after a prolonged slide out of the lottery where ESPN and many NBA teams had him projected, but 16 teams passed up on him, Kinnett becomes an excellent value who gives the Lakers an experienced wing scorer as they revamp the roster around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Kinnett will play for a coach in J.J. Redick who will presumably have a strong sense of how to optimize his scoring ability, making this a nice fit and unexpected potential core up for the Lakers. I'm going to read that first part again. It literally says, after a prolonged slide out of the lottery, which is picks 1 through 10, where ESPN and many NBA teams had him projected. Many of the NBA teams had him projected as a lottery pick, right? And 16 of y'all passed him up. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. I just want to know. Make it make sense. That's what I want to know. Because if you're saying his age, because he's 23. Man, look here. Y'all are ridiculous. If age is the reason why, y'all let this man fall to the Lakers. The best offensive player in the draft falls to the Lakers. Like the best offensive player falls to the draft when he's worst projected to be a lottery pick. 7 spots from a lottery pick, because the last lottery pick is 10. 17 effing spots. 17. 16 teams passed on him. What the freak? I don't get it. But, yeah. Now, if the Lakers come out busting, you know what? It's because Dalton Kinnett is able to help the Lakers immediately. Every last one of y'all from picks 1 through 16 need to be slapped because y'all allowed this to happen. Now, that's a great segue of allowing things to happen because in the second round with the 55th pick overall, the Lakers selected Bronny James. That's right, the son of LeBron James, and who didn't see it coming? There was all kind of reports that Rich Paul was threatening teams that if you pick Bronny James, he's just going to go to Australia and play there and all that other stuff. Do not mess this up and all this other stuff. If it's true, it's true. If it's not, it's not. And I had to literally say here, the first thing I said, I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't. I really don't, because to be a troll to the Lakers fans, I wanted Boston to draft him, and that would be a very interesting concept, because do Bronny James really want to go to Australia when he's on the championship roster team? And then they'll add more food to this Lakers-Celtics rivalry. That was just me being a troll, okay? But if I'm being a real honest analyst and a guy who covers basketball the way that I do, my true feelings is I really don't know how to feel about this. Because on one hand, you have a father duo for the first time in NBA history, and they happen to be black. So there's a lot of black people on social media who are saying we should embrace this because this is history and black people don't get this things as often, which I hate when everything becomes a race thing. I really do. I wish it wasn't, but for some reason, even with the Caitlin Clark situation, I wasn't looking at it as a race thing because I wasn't looking at it. I was looking at her skills. I was looking at what she played, how she plays, and how she plays reminds people of Steph Curry. She just so happened to be white to do it. But nevertheless, majority of the people in this country likes to make everything about race, which is a problem because everything shouldn't be about race, but it is. So yeah, on one side, I understand. It's a father and the son duo. It's the first time in NBA history we can get to see this, especially in the black community. We get to see our father and son duo drafted on the same team, playing on the same team. Okay, that's one side of it. The other side of it, LeBron James makes the actual roster. Because first, he has to make the roster still. Just because you get drafted to the team doesn't mean you make the roster. I want people to understand that. Just because you get drafted to the team doesn't mean you have an automatic roster spot. You don't. You still have to do some things to make the roster or you get cut. With that being said, if LeBron James actually makes the roster, and if the Lakers don't come out winning, it's going to be some problems. Because even though people already look at LeBron James the way they do, it's going to get raised even more. But if you believe it or not, in my opinion, it's going to get raised even more because be worse to the spot on your son, and y'all still ain't winning. Outside of the fact that y'all do have a first-time head coach, because J.J. Redick doesn't have no coaching experience at a high school level, college level, or NBA level. But knowing how the media is and how people are when they're on social media and on the internet, first order is going to be not the fact that J.J. Redick doesn't have the experience or whatnot. They're going to look at Bronny James and LeBron on the same team, sharing the same bench, and the Lakers is losing. That's how people are. Is it fair? Hell no, it's not fair. But that's how people in the media are. Now, the most likely way what's going to happen, listen to some NBA experts like Brian Windhorst. Bronny James will be part of some league team for the Los Angeles Lakers. He'll even probably go down to the G League, play for probably a year and whatnot. In all senses is that when it's time to make the roster for the upcoming season, there's a likelihood that Bronny James won't be on the roster because he'll probably be down at the G League to develop and do whatever the case may be, to do what he needs to do. And whenever they feel like he's ready, they'll call him up to be on the official roster of the Los Angeles Lakers. But I say I don't know how I feel about this because people want to harp on the fact that he didn't do well in college, first and foremost. And I said this at the beginning of the season. I said this when he made his debut, and I'm going to say this again. The man almost died. The man had a cardiac arrest, okay? The man almost died, okay? Literally almost died. The man didn't play until January of the college basketball season. The man didn't have an offseason with his teammates because he almost died from a cardiac arrest. I want people to understand that. Stop looking at stats for him. Don't look at stats with him. Remember that he had a cardiac arrest, which could have killed him. Okay? From him going from there, which was back when, almost a year. It just happened either June or July. I can't remember, but it's around about close to the time when he had it. It's around summertime when he had it. So we talking about around this time in our next month when this happened, all right? When that man had cardiac arrest, okay? Just think about it. Almost a year ago, this man almost died, was able to get on the court at USC, and now he get to hear his name drafted by the team that his father plays for. Okay? Think about all that. If any of that happened in a year to anybody else, it would be celebrated. Because one, you could have been dead. Two, you was able to get yourself back on the court or the game that you wish your love, and then your father is on the team that just drafted you. So in that respect, be respectful and celebrate the fact that this young man had heard his name called in the NBA, knowing the fact that he probably wouldn't have been on the court last year because of what took place physically within him. So in that respect, congratulations to Bronny James. You were drafted into the NBA. Now, which way the Lakers go to use you, that's their business. And I'm pretty sure they'll ask LeBron and talk with LeBron and stuff like that and make sure this is what's best for the team and not just best for the Jameses, okay? Because this is the Los Angeles Lakers we're talking about still, which means We need to win championships. And the fact that the Lakers Nation had to watch the Boston Celtics host the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the 18th time, I'm pretty sure they feeling some type of way still, but they going to work past and they going to see how J.J. Redick and company do with this roster that they got. But for right now, congratulations to Bronny James, because who knew if this was going to be capable after what happened last year, about a year ago. Who knew this was, who ever thought this would be capable? Because you had a legit health scare. We're going to call it a scare. That's what we're going to call it. Okay? So, I'm going to leave it at that. Now, that's the Lakers. Next team I want to look at who did a good job, in my opinion, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, when we get to the Minnesota Timberwolves, they did not draft Rob Dillingham. The Spurs drafted him, and then they traded, okay? So, first, let me say this. This pick belongs to the Timberwolves after they traded with the San Antonio Spurs during the first round. San Antonio Spurs acquired Minnesota's 2031 unprotected first round and a top one projected 2030 pick swap, okay? That's how this trade came about. But for Dillingham, okay, we're talking about the most dynamic score guard in the draft. Like, he is a dynamic score, and he was, okay? He lacks size, okay? He lacks the physicality, but he can put the ball in the bucket, all right? You're talking about coming off the bench at Kentucky, giving you 15 points in, like, 23 minutes. That's pretty impressive. Coming off the bench, giving you 15 points off the bench, 23 minutes game time. You know, you're just barely playing a whole half, okay? Because two halves are 20 minutes in college basketball. So you're talking barely over the first half of gameplay that you got, and you're putting up 15 points a game, which is good. Just imagine if he was a starter and he was putting in 30, 35, close to 40 minutes, he probably been in the 25 point range. Okay, that's what we're talking about from University of Kentucky, the last year that John Calipari coached the Kentucky Wildcats. Now he needs to get bigger, he needs to get stronger. Okay, he doesn't have the ideal size and the physicality to go in the paint like he does in college, but he has an ability to score. Okay, so I'm liking this. All right, this pairing that they have here. All right, the Timberwolves were one of the teams high on Dillingham's trail throughout the pre-draft process, with his creative playmaking and long-range shooting ability, making him a favorite of team president Tim Connelly. Minnesota paid a high price in future draft capital, but also vaulted high into the draft, acquiring a long-term backcourt partner for Anthony Edwards, as Mike Conley is nearing the end of his career. So I like that one. And then Minnesota didn't stop there. They went on to grab Illinois' Terrence Shannon Jr. All right. One of the most explosive players from this draft. Terrence Shannon was a guy that went for him. Illinois is probably one that made it as far as they did this past season. An explosive wing player who is great on the defensive end as well. And it is very creative of getting to the bucket and creating shots for himself. All right. So you add that with trading for Rob Dillingham, and you still got Anthony Edwards, you still got Karl-Anthony Towns. I do believe Rudy Gobert is still on the contract. We shall see what the Minnesota team was going for, because they're very impressive. And a lot of eyes was on Anthony Edwards and how he played. So now you added a dynamic guard in Dillingham. And now you add another wing that's a two-way wing in Shannon Jr. So Minnesota's on the uptick, which is saying a lot when they're just in the Western Conference Finals against the Dallas Mavericks. They on the uptick still. And I'm looking forward to Chris Finch and how the Minnesota team will acclimate these two draft picks. They did have three, but I want to focus on these two right here. They did have three. They drafted a guy. I think they wanted the guys to draft that guy from France, if I remember correctly. So I'm looking forward to this. This is a nice couple of picks that the Minnesota Timberwolves put together here. So they are building something. They building something very good to sustain long haul and not just the short while. They want to continue this success that they got. You got a young tag in Anthony Edwards, who is fighting to be the face of the league. Terrence Shannon Jr. is electrifying, okay? And he's a two-way player. And then you got a dynamic guard in Wade Bellingham. I like where Minnesota's at in that right now. Now, from there, I got two more things I want to do. Real quickly, one of the people who's looking forward to seeing get drafted was Zach Edey. And as me being a Magic fan, I want to see what my Magic did with one of our two picks, but we traded the other one. So Zach Edey is going to the Memphis Grizzlies, which is an interesting pick. That's a big man for the Grizzlies. You need it. So now you're going to have Zach Edey paired with Ja Morant. Ja Morant will be back ready to go, along with Desmond Bane. That's your backcourt. Okay. Jaren Jackson Jr. can go to the fourth spot. Now, depending on how you feel, you can either start Brandon Clark and have Zach Edey come off the bench. I see it gets acclimated with the NBA style. Or you can have Brandon Clark come off the bench and start Zach Edey. Either way, Jaren Jackson Jr. can go back to being the power forward or the four instead of being the five or the center. Okay. Now, Zach Edey is not the most mobile of the big guys in the draft, but he does. He was like a dominant player. We're talking about he went back to back. John Wooden Award. It's okay. Back to back. That means the best college player in back to back seasons. Okay. This past season and the year before. Back to back. He is good. He can defend. He can defend in the pick and roll. He's obviously good at blocking shots, obviously good at rebounding. Okay. Which is going to be interesting to see. Devon Clingan got picked two picks before him at seven to the Portland Trail Blazers. This is where he was rejected to go at, and Portland stuck with it, and they actually did it. So now you're putting Zach Edey at center to play alongside Jaren Jackson Jr. in the front court. And then you have a third man in Brandon Clark when he gets healthy. Could be a fourth man because we haven't seen Steven Adams in a very long time. So I don't know what his contract situation is. You could have four guys in the inside that can make the Memphis Grizzlies a defensive problem. A legit defensive problem, because how the freak you going to – Jaren Jackson Jr. has already been defensive player of the year, if I remember correctly. That man is great at blocking shots. Steven Adams, he's a menace on the boards, okay? Let's just call it what it is. Brandon Clark is a great, great, well-rounded center. And then you bring in Zach Edey, who is known for blocking shots and clearing the boards in college. So I'm looking forward to what Memphis looks like with Zach Edey on the team now, okay? But like I said, you still got to make the team first, okay? You know, some of these guys, some of these top draft picks didn't make the team and then it's not playing the NBA. Okay. Just looking at it. And then we get to my Orlando Magic. So, with the only pick that we did, because we traded our other one, Tristan the Salih from Colorado. The reason why I know about him, because that's the team that knocked out my Florida Gators in the NCAA tournament. But hey, he at the fourth spot on the wing. Good two-way versatile player. He has the skills. He has the ability. He's very knowledgeable of the game. I give him that. Because he's making some passes. I'm like, damn, the heck did he see that? And he gets the four together. So, all right. Talking about a guy who shot 40% from three-point range, which is great. This is really great. Okay. He probably have to put on some more size. You know, 220, 6'8", 220. You might want to get that up to 240, 245, okay? But that'll come in due time. 23 years old, don't care about the age because you should fit right in because, you know, even in the post-draft analyst says the Silver should fit the Magic personnel preference neatly as a versatile forward with positional size, feel, and skill. Orlando has built a competitive roster and gets an experienced player that could help the Magic off the base next season. He is able to play in different lineups, combinations behind and alongside Paolo Banchero and Vance Ratner, as well as defend multiple positions, space the floor, and make plays in the floor of the game. The Silver's low maintenance game coming off a strong year at Colorado helped vault him into the first round consideration and make a lot of sense at this spot. I don't need to add nothing else to that. That whole pull trap analysis I just read to you, that's all I needed to know. And that's all I needed to say, really, because we had a great season last year. We fell at 7 to the Cavaliers, but we are building something nice. We built something real good with Paolo Banchero being the face of the league, meaning the face of the franchise. So we got the Radner brothers, Vons and Mo. So it's good to see them, even though they'll be playing for Jeremy for quite some time right now. But that's neither here or there. So I'm looking forward to him. See how we acclimate the Silva into the rotation. You know, he's going to come off the bench. You have a guy who can shoot. He shot 40% in college. So hopefully he can translate that into the NBA, shoot around that 40%, maybe get up to 45 to my liking, because when you can shoot threes, you can have a long career in this game. So, but that's one of the main things I want to look at. I had to look at my Magic because I am a Magic fan. So my Magic people out there, I got you covered. Okay. I like the pick. I'm good with this pick. There's nothing bad I can say about this pick and nothing bad I will say about this pick because I'm with it. Okay. So with that being said, that's going to do it for the NBA draft coverage of this program. When we come back, we're going to dive into the WNBA because even though it was a short week for the WNBA, some good stuff took place in the WNBA. We'll be back.
I love you. Morons, you kids from the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is, sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan... say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the site, man, and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on site. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay, man. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings. Monarchs of Wrestling. Live! Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel. Join the Transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the Reformer of Hooker Whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the Bronze Claw.
Whenever you are in distress, mm-hmm. Take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out here. And those of you who are watching, probably figure out why I sounded the way I sound. I wasn't really too keen into the NBA draft this year. There was some couple of names I wanted to see, you know, Donald Clinton going to Portland, wanted to see what my Magic did, wanted to see if Bronny James actually got picked by the Lakers, he did. And more importantly, I was looking for Don Connett. And when Don Connett went to the Lakers, that was it for me. I was like, yep, yeah, let him go to the Lakers. Good gracious, all right? So, sorry about that, but hey, being honest, I wasn't too keen into the NBA draft. I was too much trying to focus on the WNBA. And speaking of which, let's go right there to it. The WNBA. And it was a short week. No games Monday. No games Wednesday. We had a game Tuesday. An important game. The Commissioner's Cup was on the line on Tuesday. USBA Arena in Long Island, New York, when the New York Liberty tried to go back to back Commissioner's Cup, being the first team to do so. And Minnesota Lynx, the hottest and most surprising team in the WNBA thus far, trying to showcase to the world that we are for real. And sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, the Minnesota Lynx are for real. Winners of the Commissioner's Cup for the fourth year in a row. In all 4 years, we had a different Commissioner's Cup champion. Started off with the Seattle Storm 4 years ago. Then it went to the Las Vegas Aces the year after that. And then last season, it was the New York Liberty beating the Las Vegas Aces. And then this past Tuesday, the Lynx knocked off the New York Liberty. I'm going to be honest. We started off hot. We scored 50 points in the first half. 50 points in the first half by the New York Liberty. And we only scored 39 in the second half. Why the Minnesota Lynx scored 47? They outscored us 47 to 39 in the second half, thus beating us by 5. Nafisha Kalia with 21 points, and I do believe it was 7 boards, if I'm mistaken. Okay. 6 boards, took home the MVP trophy of the Commissioner's Cup. You could have gave it to Bridget Carrington because she was on point. 8 for 10 from the field, 8 from 3-point wins with 23 points, 4 boards, and 5 assists. You could have gave it to her, and I wouldn't have been mad, but I understand you want to give it to the face of the franchise, Nafisha Kalia. And even I'm happy that Nafisha Kalia said this should have went to Bridget because she was the one that was the catalyst for them. All right. Sabrina Nescu, 23 points, but you had, like, if I remember correctly, you had 20 of them in the first half, which means you was a no-show in the second half. And speaking of no-shows, like, I don't need JJ to only have 3 shot attempts. That is not Liberty basketball. Jonquel Jones should not leave a game with only 3 shot attempts. All 3 of her points came at the free throw line with 12 boards. That should not happen. Breonna Stewart woke up in the second half, gave me 24 and 11. You know, we wasted a great game from Kelly Thornton. We had 17 points, 5 and 9 for 3-point range. Like, just wasted a great game from Thornton. But shout out to the Minnesota Lynx. They handled business, and they are showing that they are for real under the leadership. Under the leadership of Coach Reeves, Cheryl Reeves, and led by Nafisha Kalia. That's all there's to it. Hold on, excuse me. So that was the long game on Tuesday. We had no games Wednesday, as I mentioned earlier. So we had a quadruple header from last night, yesterday. The Lynx, coming off the Commissioner's Cup win, was in Dallas. The Kinetic Sun was in the D.C. area. The Aces and the Sky got together, and the Fever and the Storm got together. Early in the day, I want to say around about 2 o'clock, the Commissioner's Cup winner, Minnesota Lynx, took the trip from New York down to Dallas to face the Dallas Wings, and the Dallas Wings snapped the 11-game losing streak, surprisingly beating the Commissioner's Cup winner, Minnesota Lynx, 94-88. I mean, Arike Gumawale with 26 and 9 dimes on the day, McCallum with 17 and 12 to help out. The bench was on point for the Dallas Wings. And I don't know what happened in Minnesota. McBride, 11, 3 for 11 from the field. That's not usually their type of game. The official Kyle with 29-11. Can't be mad at that. Asia Smith with 15. Chipped in. Carrington gave you 17. Can't, but hey. Maybe the Dallas Wings got tired of losing. They finally caught one. And maybe the Minnesota Lynx was partying a little too much after beating the New York Liberty for a second time, by the way. So we're 0-2 against the Minnesota Lynx, by the way. That's all my Liberty fans know. We are 0-2 against them. But the Dallas Wings were able to beat them and snap an 11-game losing streak. From there, we head to D.C. because it was the Kinetic Suns and the Washington Mystics. And this game went in overtime. And I would say this is a devastating loss for the Washington Mystics because they had the lead in the final seconds. They had the lead. They had the lead in the final seconds. And they allowed the Connecticut to tie the game up to center in overtime. And then in overtime, as you can see, 12-9 in overtime. Our 94-91 win by the Kinetic Suns, which did not prolong their losing streak. They kept it down. After getting smacked around by the Storm in the previous game, the Suns stepped up and win this one. Shout out to DeJuan Obama, 24 points with 10 boards. Harris with 23. Carrington with 22. 3+ scoring in the 20s. And they needed all three of them too. Because Alicia Thomas, not a good game. 7 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. Brianna Jones, not a good game with 7 points and 5 assists. But your team got the dub. That's all that matters at the end of the day. But if you have a good game, a bad game, or an ugly game, as long as your team gets a dub, you can move on. You can do what you got to do to keep it moving because you got the dub. 14-3 on the season is good for y'all. Washington, unfortunately, 4-14 on the season. Tough L. Haynes Island with 21 points. Dawson with 18. You got 10 for Atkins. Van Loo with 12. Just a tough loss. It's really what it is, a tough loss for y'all. And then one of the two games that I was looking forward to, the Las Vegas Aces in the Chi-Town to take on Chicago Sky. We're talking Asia Wilson versus Angel Reese or Asia Wilson versus Camila Cardoza. We're talking Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, the back-to-back reigning champions meeting T. Witherspoon in the Chicago Sky for the first time this season. What lessons would the Las Vegas Aces teach the Sky? Well, quarter one was the Asia Wilson show. Quarter two was the Jackie Young show. And by the way, Asia Wilson scored 20 points in the first half. Okay, quarter three, back and forth, dip it tough battle, as you see, 26-24. And then quarter four was the Kelsey Plum show. One put it to you. Asia Wilson, 31 points with only 6 rebounds. Kelsey Plum finished with 21 points, 5 boards, and 5 dimes. And Jackie Young scored 22. We're talking, let me see, that's 74 points of the 95 came from the big three of Adrian Wilson, Kelsey Plum, and Jackie Young. 74 by them three. Okay. And Adrian Wilson. Angel Reese continued her double-double streak at 9 straight with 18 points and 11 boards. Camila Cardoza struggled, 25 points, but she did get 8 boards. Marbury was on point last night with 21. She found her shot. Candy Carter continues to be a spark plug and a bucket for Chicago Sky. She had 20 last night. But when you go against the back-to-back defending champ, now that they got their point guard back in Chelsea Gray, you got some lessons being shown around you. And when Angel Reese guarded Asia Wilson, she picked up 3 first-half fouls. It just not what you want to do. And then when Camila Cardoza was sticking Asia Wilson, she was putting her in the blender. She got her jumping, trying to block shots and go right under her, getting fouled. And with and ones, this Asia Wilson showed the people in Chicago why she's the best player in DW. Okay. And why she's the front runner for MVP. Okay. Now, the Fisher Car is making a push. I'm not going to dismiss the Fisher Car because she is making a damn good push. And somehow, some way, Brianna Stewart is going to have her name thrown in there too because she is the reigning league MVP, by the way, 2 times over, or 3. But the front runner for the MVP is Asia Wilson, and there's no questions asked. Now, for the rookie of the year, Angel Reese is still the front runner for rookie of the year, in my opinion. People, if you want to disagree, you can. Feel free. But this woman has 9 straight double-doubles, okay? 9 of them. 9 straight. She's a walking double-double. Now, you want to get on her about missing layups and stuff like that, fair game. Because, yes, Angel Reese, you can't be going 7-for-16 from the field, okay? Which is kind of contributing to your rebounding. But, hey, you know how to get your own miss. There's nothing wrong with that. Dennis Robert can do it. Did it the best. Dennis Robert knew how to rebound with the best of them. Things happen. But, yeah, get with some nice love thing. You got your lessons. Now, you get with AJ Wilson at some point in time. During the offseason, get some pointers from AJ Wilson. We can take your game to the next level. But for right now, Angel Reese is my front runner for Rookie of the Year. And speaking of which, that's the next game I'm going to. Because in Seattle, it was Caitlin Clark and Indiana Fever taking on Jrue Lloyd in the Seattle Storm. And we weren't talking about Caitlin Clark. I can tell you that much. I can definitely tell you that much. Because the Gold Mamba, Jrue Lloyd, put on a show. 34 points on the night with 5 boards. She was 10-for-15 from the field, 6-for-9 from 3. The Gold Mamba was on display, and there was nothing, and I do mean nothing, that anybody on Indiana could do. Caitlin Clark did give you 15, 6, and 7. It was the most quietest 15 that I have ever seen Caitlin Clark have. The quietest 15 I ever seen Caitlin Clark have. I barely heard her name on commentary. Barely. Kelsey Mitchell, 14 points. Aaliyah Boston, 11-14. Eliza Smith with 12-9. But it was the Jrue Lloyd show. The Gold Mamba was on display. Okay. Nerike Ogumike gave you 15-11 with a double-double. Diggy Smith didn't do nothing in the scoring department with only 8 points, but she did throw out 9 dimes. So she was finding her teammates when she needed to. And probably most of them was coming to Jrue Lloyd because Jrue Lloyd was on fire. She was on fire last night. Okay. Matt LeBron gave you 18 points. Can't be mad at that. 7-for-10 from the field. But the Gold Mamba, Jrue Lloyd, put on a show for the home crowd in front of Caitlin Clark. Now, Caitlin Clark, you got a taste of the Gold Mamba. You see how the Gold Mamba operates. You only scored 15 points in 38 minutes. That's not like you. You took 9 shots. You made 4 of them. You took 7 three-pointers. You made 3 of them. Okay. We're having it close to around 50% mark, which is normally for you. But I'm going to admit, again, this was the quietest 15 I have ever seen you have, Caitlin Clark. The quietest. I'm not blaming you, okay? I don't want nobody to say I'm blaming her. But I'm just pointing it out. This was the quietest 15 I have ever seen Caitlin Clark have. If I remember correctly, she probably scored all 15 in the first half because I ain't hear nothing about Caitlin Clark in the second half. I did not hear nothing about Caitlin Clark in the second half. I'm just being honest. Jrue Lloyd was on fire. That's how bad Jrue Lloyd was busting Indiana's you know what. The Gold Mamba. All right. That's all I've got to say on that one. So we're going to take our final commercial break. Okay. And then when we come back, I'm going to get you ready for the weekend because it's a lot of stuff going on this weekend that I think you should know. Okay. We'll be back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Cowboys Talk.
The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved. Let me say that one more time, because you know it's true. The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved.
Dak Prescott is overrated and he shouldn't be paid. Okay, and the same thing with Pollard. I mean, Pollard breaking the tackles at that 57-yard touchdown run. I mean, we needed that big time.
33 points in the fourth quarter. Let me say that again. 33 points in the fourth quarter. And that's off of 4 turnovers committed by the Colts. See, at one point, and the fact that at the end of the third quarter, it was 21-19, and the final score was 54-19... Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that is completely unexpected.
Cowboys Talk is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Oh, yes. The tradition, the pageantry, the spectacle, the history. the slut. Wait. I gotta rep my brother's stuff right. All my DMV soldiers, stand up! And welcome to the Commander's Gridiron Report. You want your commanders to be repped right? Well, D. Willie is your man. Commander's Gridiron Report. Every Monday at 3.05 p.m. Eastern, 2.05 p.m. Central. Exclusively on the Sertoba Media YouTube channel. Music by J. Cool.
Where my soldiers? Right side, right side. Commanders. Where my soldiers? Left side, left side. Commanders.
Sports fans are gearing up. Whether it be for the madness of March, whether it be for the Super Bowl, or even a little thing called WrestleMania. You can get all that at Fanatics, where they have a wide selection of gear from every league, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the NHL, the NCAA, and the WWE. So go on and show that pride, that passion, that dedication fan that you are by whipping your team, your league, all your favorite players. Fanatics, official lenses, everything.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams. Whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening.
This Sunday at 10.05 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome. This is a BS3 Network presentation.
I want to do a TED Talk, but I don't have anything to talk about yet. I'm getting there.
Life is for the living. We're not here that long.
You can learn anything you want to learn without any money spent.
What do I really enjoy? What do I really want out of life?
I am your host, W-I-Z-E.
Are you in a life-holding pattern? Well, this is for you. Welcome to the Stuck in My Mind podcast. Live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. And before I get ready to close the show out, as you can see on the top right corner of your screen here, the audio version of the podcast form will be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio, and wherever else you can find your podcast at. So go ahead and follow on every platform that you listen to podcasts at. And also, subscribe on our YouTube channel, D Playmakers Blog YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, hit that notification bell, so anytime we put any shows out there, anytime we are live, you get the notification and you're ready to rock and roll. All right. Now, to close out the show, just get you ready for the weekend. First up, to get you ready for the weekend, it is the NBA free agency. All right. First order of business, beginning this Sunday, June 30th at 6 p.m., verbal agreements can be made between players and teams. All right. But the official signings cannot become official until July 6th at noon. Okay. So Sunday starts the legal process of making verbal agreements, but official contracts do not get recognized as official until July 6th at noon. Okay. Some things I want y'all to look at. Okay. Right now from Bleacher Report, Raptors to give Emmanuel Quickly 5 years, $175 million extension to stay with Toronto Raptors. The Detroit Pistons have traded for Tim Hardaway Jr. Detroit is sending Quentin Grimes to Dallas in exchange for Tim Hardaway Jr. in 3 second-round picks. As I'm looking at Bleacher Report, as this was popping up on my phone. All right. So there's a couple of great things y'all want to look at. Now, here's what you want to look at here. All right. Coming up in free agency, we have players. We have notable players here. All right. If you see player options, all right, this means these players' options, they have to tomorrow to either opt in or opt out of their current contracts with their current team. So you have Paul George with the LA Clippers, LeBron James with the Los Angeles Lakers, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with the Denver Nuggets, and D'Angelo Russell with the Los Angeles Lakers. And Bleacher Report sent out a notification 2 hours ago that the Dallas Mavericks won't Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That could be happening in a sign and trade thing. So keep an eye out for that when it comes to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Could he be shifting from Denver to Dallas, depending on what he does? Paul George, as we said earlier, we talked about that. I believe Paul George wants a 4-year deal. The Clippers want to give him a 3-year deal. I think that 3-year deal is in line with Kawhi Leonard's three-year deal. So I guess they want to do that. But if Paul George opts out, the Clippers will respect his decision on that. We will see with D'Angelo Russell, especially with the fact that what's going on with the Lakers. J.J. Redd is now the head coach. The draft of Dalton Kennett and Bryan James. How does he fit? What's the scheme going to look like? Stuff like that. And LeBron James, we'll see what LeBron James does, but there is nothing out of the realm of possibility that makes people believe that he's going to leave the Lakers after the fact they drafted his son. So we're going to see he's going to stay with the Lakers, but we're going to see because the Lakers are ready to offer him a 3-year deal if he wants that. But we'll see what LeBron James does. It's still his decision, but we don't see LeBron James leaving the Lakers no time soon. Just throw that out there. Restricted free agent. Noticeable one is Tyrese Maxey. This is so when you're a restricted free agent, that means you can talk with teams. You can do the normal stuff as free agency does. But the current team that you have, which would be the Philadelphia 76ers, has the opportunity to match that offer. And if they choose to match that offer, that's the match. That's what you would get to stay with that team. And if they choose not to match that offer, then you are a free agent. Okay. So Tyrese Maxey is in that predicament, but I do believe Tyrese Maxey want to stay with the Philadelphia 76ers. So whatever the market says he's worth, I'm pretty sure Philadelphia will probably match it to keep him with Joel Embiid going forward. And then unrestricted free agents. These are the guys who has freely to do whatever they want to do. There's no restrictions on them whatsoever. So Isaiah Hartenstein is a free agent from the New York Knicks. DeMar DeRozan is a free agent from the Chicago Bulls. James Harden is a free agent from the Los Angeles Clippers. Klay Thompson is a free agent from the Golden State Warriors. And Tobias Harris is a free agent of the Philadelphia 76ers. So, like I said, Sunday, they can do verbal talks with teams and get a verbal agreement. But nothing is official until July 6th, okay? So keep that in mind. July 6th is when it's official. But verbal talkage can begin this Sunday. That's what I want y'all to know for the NBA. Now let's go to the WNBA because we got games to look at. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Ayon Tubman has a doubleheader, starting off with the Atlanta Dream in Connecticut to take on the Connecticut Suns at 7:30. And then after that game, in Phoenix, Arizona, we have the Mercury hosting the LA Sparks. All right. The LA Sparks game, that should be interesting with the Rika Hamby going against Brittany Grinding. That's the match to look forward to. Saturday, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Las Vegas Aces in the Capitol to take on the Washington Mystics. And then at 9 p.m. on NBA TV tomorrow, we have the Dallas Wings in Seattle to take on the Seattle Storm. That should be interesting to see how Dallas build off a big win over the Minnesota Lynx. And to see Arike Gumarale going against Jrue Lord again. Remember, that was the highest scoring game last season. I believe that's the game that Jrue Lord scored 41 and Arike scored 39. And a hell of a game that was. And I do believe the Storm won that game. So this is the first time they get to meet since that game. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then Sunday, we have three games. At 1 p.m. on ESPN, the Atlanta Dream has their second meeting with the New York Liberty, this time in Brooklyn. On ESPN3, we have the Minnesota Lynx going against the Chicago Sky at 3 p.m. LaFisha Kaya, we're going against Angel Reese. That should be a fun one to watch. Okay. Also at 3 on ESPN after the Dream and Liberty. It's the matchup everybody's been waiting on. The Indiana Fever, led by Caitlin Clark. They are in the desert to take on Diana Taurasi and the Phoenix Mercury. Caitlin Clark, first matchup against Diana Taurasi. Aaliyah Boston going against Brittany Griner. Oh, man. And then we have And then we got Kalia Copper out there in Phoenix, so that should be fun. And what does Natasha Cloud got for Caitlin Clark as well? Because if I'm smart enough, I can see Natasha Cloud being the primary defender on Caitlin Clark, even though everybody want to be Diana Taurasi, because what she said doing her little broadcast when she was doing it with Sue Bird for the Women's March Madness tournament. But you might see a lot of Natasha Cloud on Caitlin Clark, and I want to see how Caitlin Clark handles that, because Natasha Cloud is a one hell of a defender, okay? And when Caitlin Clark has been going against certain defenders, like a Carrington in Connecticut, Laney Hamilton up in New York, she hasn't failed too well. So when they put Natasha Cloud on Caitlin Clark, that's something I'm looking forward to on that one, all right? But those are your WNBA games this weekend, starting tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, as we end the month of June on Sunday. And that would do it for today's episode. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for watching. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for sharing, liking, and doing whatever it is that it is to support this show, to support the Playmakers Ball. I greatly appreciate it. Y'all enjoy y'all weekend, and I will see y'all in July, because that will be Monday. July 1st is on a Monday, and I'll be back then. Until then, peace and love. Y'all have a good one. I will catch y'all later.
You've done great, but you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the floor. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can find it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.